Hello and welcome to Films for Our Lives. I'm Victoria Feltham.
And I'm Stuart Feltham.
And today, instead of a film reviewing, we will be giving you our guide to the Christmas pantomime.
Oh no, we're not.
Oh yes, we are.
Oh no, we're not.
Oh yes, we are.
Hello.
Hello. We are recording. We're recording remotely, so apologies if we speak over each other. There's a slight time delay.
Also, there's...
I can hear you munching.
Noisy children. Yeah, you caught me on a mouthful of mini cheddars.
I hope you're enjoying.
So...
Stu's had rather a stressful morning.
We were going to record this. Had a very stressful morning. And it's with a rather embarrassing ending. Shall I divulge?
Yeah.
So, our boiler stopped working yesterday. And we've had no heating all night. It's very cold. It's very wet. Very cold and wet.
Three children, two dogs, two grown-ups, all cold.
Very cold. Kim's dad, my wife, Kim, her dad, see, is a former gas engineer. Perfect.
Good. He'll know what to do.
Bleed the radiators, he says. He said, not just one, all of them.
Yeah.
Because if there's a build-up in one, the air can move from one to the other. Some people will be listening to this and going, yeah, obviously.
Obviously, sure. Yeah.
Obviously, that's what you...
Some people aren't us.
Oh, Max. Honestly, me. Honestly. So, you were here for 2 hours.
I was
bleeding radiators in our podcast time for, what, 2 hours?
Yeah, for the 2 hours I was there. I held the jug for a while, didn't I?
Yeah, you were part of the crew.
Yeah.
Max, could you not follow me on that, please? It's very noisy. Sorry, everyone. Do you want your lunch? No, of course not. You don't eat yucky food. So, all this. I, for anyone who doesn't know me, which is probably most people, I am not what you would call very good at doing DIY.
No, not very handy, are we? Either of us.
No. No. We always use our dad. I didn't want to use dad today. I'd already spoke to him on the phone. He gave me some advice. He said, come and pick me up.
And
I just wanted to give him a day off.
Bring me here and I'll do it.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Well, there's a lot of background noise.
I know. I'm very sorry. Max, it's like he knows. So doing all this and that. Anyway, to cut a mediumly long story short.
Mediumly.
Somebody had turned down the temperature gauge on our heating. So the reason it wasn't heating up was because, well, it was just going, doing what you ask.
Yeah. You only want me to heat you mediumly.
I'm getting up to 20 degrees. What more do you want from me? Stop resetting me.
Yes.
I'm at optimum. I'm at optimum temperature. This is what you're asking. I'm providing a service.
I've done everything you ask.
Yeah.
Stop resetting me.
That's the reason it didn't work. Because it was just turned down.
Oh, no. I wouldn't have known. Stu sent me a photo. I wouldn't have known.
So on the gauge, there's a minus and then a line to a plus. So anyone who is not within the biz, I would assume.
Yeah.
Would just go, well, it's pointing to the plus. The plus is the highest port, yeah, surely.
Surely.
Anyway, after a solid 3 hours of staring at the boiler going, why?
Why don't you work?
I realised that you could actually turn that a lot further.
Oh.
I'm going to walk away from this child. But he follows me. Yeah.
Bless him.
So anyway, the radiators have had a solid bleeding session. They're at optimum peak performance now.
Oh.
And the boiler's just going, yeah, well, you wanted a higher temperature. You, well, thank you. Now you've requested it. I will provide
I'll do it. Yeah. Yeah. I'll do it then. If that's what you want, then I'll get it done. Why didn't you tell me?
Absolutely nothing to do with pantomime.
No, nothing at all.
No.
Michael McIntyre, the radiator bleeding key. Is there a more manly device?
Not today.
No.
Just made me look a fool.
No,
even the radiator bleeding key was just looking at me going, this isn't going to help.
Carry on. Plead another one, why don't you?
Yeah. I will. Thank you.
Fine. Take me upstairs.
Never had so much use.
I've been in the drawer for years. Hurrah! Yeah. It's my moment.
Oh, here it comes to ruin the day furthermore.
Oh, bless him. Driving on his little truck.
That is on the thing.
Shall we discuss pantomimes?
Yes, sorry. Anyway, pantomime. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Sorry if you didn't get this far. You won't know that I just wished you Merry Christmas.
And Happy New Year. All of that, yeah. Happy New Year for tomorrow, for midnight tomorrow.
Today. Today. Is it today? Is it tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Technically tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. We hope everyone's had a good Christmas. We had a good Christmas, didn't we?
We had a lovely time, didn't we?
Very hectic Christmas. Hence the pantomime rather than the film. Although, dare I argue, have we done most of the best Christmas films now?
Well, we'll save it. No, there's more. Well, I think we've done, most of the ones that were really films of our lives. But we can't just, that's it for Christmas forever.
What are we going to do next year? Pantomime 2?
No, because we had one for now, and then you changed your mind when we watched the pantomime.
Yeah, I thought it was a good idea.
Yeah. So it's not just that. See?
Well, I think we should probably do Die Hard at one point. Yeah,
definitely. Especially since Adam is one of our avid listeners, and that's his favourite Christmas film. Hello, Adam.
Is it a Christmas film?
It is
his favourite film.
It's definitely a Christmas film.
Well, I've never seen it.
Haven't you? No. Yeah, I've seen it twice.
But then some people say if you can make the argument that it's not a Christmas film.
Yeah, you could do it anytime.
You can make the argument that Home Alone is not a Christmas film.
I don't understand how it's not a Christmas film. It's at Christmas.
Well, but it's not relevant to Christmas, is what the point is.
Yeah, it is. They're at a Christmas party.
Yeah, but it's set at Christmas, exactly. Yeah. So it's set at Christmas.
Yeah.
It's like going, you could have... My Die Hard is Harry Potter. Nothing to do with Christmas. Nothing to do with Christmas.
No.
But, well, it's not even set at Christmas. The Christmas happens in it.
They have the Christmas holidays, yeah.
But it's just like a proper good...
It's proper good.
Proper good Christmassy film to watch.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with Christmas.
I say don't argue, just watch what you want.
Yeah.
There you are, that's our problem solved. Next.
Do you know, I told you about the Harry Potter thing, didn't I? 10:32.
Oh, no. Yeah, you did, but tell the listeners.
10:32, next Christmas Eve. If you start watching Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, or Sorcerer's Stone, if you're in America, or anywhere else where they have Sorcerer's Stone, 10:32, at midnight, Ron will say, Merry Christmas, Harry.
Oh.
What a moment that would be.
That would be a nice moment, but we can't do it because we have to go to midnight mass and sing.
And be late.
Oh, could you believe we were late again?
Especially after all the research that went into finding out what time it was on.
It really was. I'm
really
shift.
Sorry about this car in the background.
Should we talk about the pantomime?
Yeah.
So, pantomimes. A British tradition, and then I think lots of countries have adopted this tradition, but it's like I think it's started here, as far as I know. We actually should have done a little bit of research on that. A very big tradition in Britain, and it isn't. Oh, yes, it is, and it has key phrases like that. And I remember my first pantomime experience, which I'm not sure if I've discussed on the podcast before, but I don't know I would have. But you know me. I remember. So Stu, you weren't born yet. I was 3, and then we went to the Bristol Hippodrome, which is our local theatre, and watched Snow White. And what's the catchphrase, ma'am?
Roy original. Walker.
The original one.
Roy Walker.
Roy Walker, sorry, I thought you said something else. Yeah, Roy Walker, he was in it. And so was Dana, her name is, who was a singer, I believe, from Ireland. I think she's I think she might be a politician now, but I haven't really followed her career. But she was Snow White, and she was, so at the time she was known for doing the fairy adverts. Now, hands that do dishes can be soft as your skin with mild clean, fairy liquid. She did that, and yeah, and she was in the Eurovision Song Contest. So that's what she was famous for, singing originally. And then everyone in the audience had to shout, "Don't pull the rope." And they said, "We will." Oh, sorry, I can hear Sweet singing.
Honestly.
Bless him.
It's like he wants to invade the pod.
Oh.
No interest in me for the last 3 hours while it's bleeding.
Yeah, we had to shout, "Don't pull the rope." And they said, "We'll get the loudest children up on the stage." Of course, I was one of the loudest children in that 2,000-seater venue. And then they got me up on stage, which Mum said she was excited about, but also embarrassed because I was wearing white tights and I'd fallen in a puddle on the way there. So I had
slovenly.
So I had muddy legs. Yeah, so we got up and then they gave all the other children a goodie bag, but then left me standing there.
Gave you a pair of tights.
And since, yeah, gave me a good wash. And then they said, oh, sorry, we've run out of goodie bags. And I just stood there. I can remember this. I can remember looking at Roy Walker. And we haven't got any. And I just stood there because I was like, jolly well, will give me a goodie bag. And I waited, even though he said sorry. And then Snow White herself brought out the goodie bag for me. And then we were with two of our cousins, right, Victoria. And I remember being very smug that I had a goodie bag and they didn't. And that, yeah, that little show off piece is my introduction to pantomimes. Do you remember your first one?
Oh, no.
No, good. Excellent anecdote.
No, well, I was going to say, you're very much a scholar of that whole scene, aren't you?
Yeah, like, that is my scene, isn't it?
Mentioned it over the years here. You're trained in the performing arts. That was what you were into.
Yeah.
You still do pantomimes now.
Yes,
you make your own pantomime.
I write my own pantomime. So basically, listeners, I'm sure I've said. So I wanted to grow up. I wanted to grow up. No, I didn't. I didn't actually want to grow up. When I grew up,
that never happened.
That never happened. When I grew up, I wanted to become. All my life, I wanted to become. An actor or dancer, and then I've had the odd acting job here and there, including a pantomime tour.
Stacey.
Oh yeah, I'm an extra in Gavin Stacey. If you want to watch someone in the background dancing to Thong Song with a blue glittery top, or at the airport, also wearing a blue vest top, walking along, I'm there. You can see my face. Hello. If you want to see the Doctor Who Christmas special set in the Victorian era with David Tennant, and then see everybody looking at a Cyberman in One Direction, and then see a little nerd not knowing where I was supposed to look, and then looking in the wrong direction, that's me. but then I was like, well, I haven't had an acting job for a while. I'll just make my own. I'll give myself a job. So I spoke to a friend of mine who owned a venue that I could put a pantomime on in. And then she said, "You can put the pantomime on if you let me be in it." And I said, "Okay, that sounds good." So we've done one every year for about 7 years, apart from COVID times, obviously. Yeah. So that's, yes, very much my bag, baby. Yeah. So I love a pantomime, so I do one every year now. But that, yeah, that's the trick. Actors, dancers, they won't give you a job. Just make your own job.
Your own job.
It's easy.
Money for old rope.
Pardon?
If it's money for old rope.
I'll just write my own. I'm not a writer.
Yeah, but you don't have to be that skilled at writing.
Thank you, Stuart.
No, but I mean, you have the base story there. You can just rip off another story. And then you just add your little, like, nodules of humour.
Thank you. Well, thank you for reducing that to... reducing it to that. all no, my hard I mean, work.
It's very good for what it is.
Oh, is it? For what it is. Excellent. Thank you. Well, you've certainly boosted my self-esteem.
No, I mean, like, you didn't write Cinderella, did you?
No, I didn't, no.
You just change it. You added.
But can I just
things.
Say, listeners, it's like actually right.
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Like this year, adding in the bits about Barbie and things yeah. like topical humour.
Topical humour. Did you like that?
And the kids all love it.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, you've certainly redeemed yourself for crushing my dreams.
And I always take the kids to watch Fix Pantomime.
Yeah.
To support. And we always
because you have
Christmas.
To.
Yeah. Because we feel Christmassy after as well, after a panto.
That's nice.
And
thank
this
you.
Year, Max is old enough to like sit down and, like, you took him to the cinema for the first time the other week.
Yeah. Oh.
And he sat down. Jacob wasn't going to because he's too cool for school. He wasn't going to sit down on the cushion.
He's
at the front
eight
anymore.
Now. I'm not going to sit out on a cushion at the front.
But Max wanted to. So Jake had to go and sit with him.
Yeah.
And it was funny. You came out and did the intro to the story. And then you were like, when everyone comes out, when the evil stepsisters or stepmother come out, I want you to boo and boo. Can we practice our boo? Boo.
Yeah.
No. That's not loud enough. And this is a really boo.
This classic panto tool, which I use. I
heard Max on his cushion at the front go, I said no to her.
I said no. Oh, bless him. I didn't notice that, which is lucky because that would have made me laugh.
Yeah. I was going to say, so panto is a tradition. So one of our traditions now that we have at Christmas is around 20 to 24th.
Yeah.
We go and watch panto, don't we?
At the Bristol Hippodrome, which is where I mentioned I saw my first one.
A big entourage, all of our family.
Family and friends, yeah.
Yeah. And this year it was...
Peter Pan,
yes.
And starring Faye from Steps. She was a mermaid. She was wonderful. And David, is it Suchet, who played Poirot? Oh, I said it.
Oh, yeah.
He was excellent also.
Yeah, as Hook.
And then we have local celebrity Andy Ford, who...
Yeah, I feel like you should tell the story of Andy Ford, because you used to work at the Hippodrome.
Yeah, so I used to work at the Hippodrome. I'll tell you another story a bit later about another...
Yeah,
UK celebrity. Andy Ford. So, yeah, from the Southwest hero. And then he happened to be in the panto one time when I was working there. It wasn't Snow White, it was the one before. I think it was Cinderella.
Very Bristolian man.
Yeah, very Bristolian man.
If he's not, he can certainly perfect a very Bristolian accent.
He's just clearly local. You can hear in the accent. Very strong. Accent and he, not that that's anything to do with anything, but it's just that makes him
local,
he's a local celebrity, that's it. If he did the panto in Birmingham, his style might not work because it's a very it's like local humor.
We can say this with confidence.
Yeah,
I don't know what. You don't recognise your own accents. People might listen to this and be like, oh, those two, they're so Bristolian.
They're so Bristolian,
But when you hear a Bristolian accent on, like, TV, we kind of go like...
Whoa.
Is that what we sound like?
That's a strong accent, isn't it? But when you're in the thick of it, you don't know.
Yeah. But so he is very... Where you're like... Even though I'm Bristolian, I noticed that he... But then he's probably playing up as well, isn't he? Me babbers and all this and that.
Yeah, me babber. Like, yeah. No, very Bristolian. Can you say that many... Could be that stereotypical, surely.
Yeah.
Me babber.
Anyway,
no.
Back to your story of the arc of... Andy
Ford. So all it was... I don't even know why we had to discuss his accent, but I'm just saying, he's very much... Yeah, if you're from Bristol or if you've moved to Bristol and you've lived there for a while, you get the, like, Bristolianness. You will, you'll be like,
Like, Steve Merchant.
Yeah.
For example, is from Bristol.
Yeah.
I feel like he's...
Hello, if you're listening.
He's toned down the Bristolian, don't you?
Well, not intent. I don't.
No, but I feel like he can ramp it up if need be.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't necessarily be like, no, when I hear Steve Merchant talk, I'm not like, oh my God, is that what I like? Whereas, say, Josie Gibson on I'm a Celebrity recently, I was like, oh, Bristolian accent is so cringy.
Oh, I love her. I think she sounds lovely and warm and welcoming.
But that's because you're a scholar of Bristol.
Yeah. A scholar of the Bristol.
Justin Lee Collins was another one. Very Bristolian.
Oh, yeah. We can't talk about him now. He's controversial.
Okay.
He's a bad man.
Okay.
Yeah. I met him at Hip Dream, but we won't discuss that.
Other examples.
Well, we can discuss it. I met him at the Hip Dream. There we go. That was that. Someone got his autograph for me because I was a fan. I'm not now. He's a bad man. Anywho, that's that discussed.
Yeah.
So, but Andy Ford, yeah. So I was working there, and then I believe it was 2008, I think, was the first one. And then he just appeared from nowhere. I mean, I'm sure he's like paid his dues and he's been, you know, working all these years, but he was in that panto and everyone was just like, oh my gosh, he's amazing. And then, so yeah, he just has to be in it now. He's been in it every year since. And then I think
that's one of his jokes now, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, he started this year and he was like, so I'm, who was he?
Smee.
This year. Like, this year.
Yeah.
He knows me now.
He knows me now. But yeah, it's funny. So if you go every year, you know that he plays all these, yeah, he plays all the different parts. So he'll be like the Buttons, the Smee, the whoever.
Genie?
No, he wasn't the genie, I don't think. No, he wasn't the genie. Who was the genie last year? Was that last year?
Yeah. I don't know.
No, I don't know.
I've only been to two.
Oh, yeah, of course, because you weren't there last year.
What other comedic character is there in Aladdin? The Sultan?
No, because there's like a friend of Aladdin.
The friend of Aladdin?
In Panto, there's always like a friend or a sidekick or a, you know, like somebody.
Not a real character.
That's not in like a Disney, but is like a token pantomime character. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, you know, like you have Widow Twanky and that kind of character who's like you wouldn't find them in the Disney show, Disney musical, but they'll be in a panto because the pantomime is not, it will draw on the Disney film, I would have said, if it's been made into a Disney film, but obviously the panto's been around longer than the Disney kind of side of things. Obviously these were stories and books before they were like a film. I think a lot of people think of the film Fairy Tale. When obviously it was a book first and then it was a panto and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Yes. So shall I tell my tale?
Your amusing story.
Yeah. We were talking about this the other day, weren't we? And I said, I feel like I've discussed that before on the pantomime, but
I'm not sure. I don't think you have. No, I don't think you have.
I don't know why I would have, but I'm sorry if I have. And also, it would be classic me to talk nonsense about a theme that's not relevant.
Yeah, I was thinking, I don't think we have. The only reason you brought that up, because I was discussing the game show, Would I Lie to You?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then I said to you, what would your Would I Lie to You be?
Yeah.
And yours was?
So mine was, this is before Andy Ford was in it. So Andy Ford, hello, if you're listening, Bristol's proud of you.
Say hello. What your Would I Lie to You was.
Okay. So so when I worked at the Hip Dream again.
You need to explain what Would I Lie to You is.
Oh.
Maybe.
Well, it's just as you said.
A game show. So it's a game show that it's got David Mitchell and
Lee
Mack
on
in the UK. And they go on there.
Hosted by
what's his name from Gavin and Stacey?
Gavin Stacey. Oh, that I was an extra on. Oh, thanks.
What's his name?
Bryn.
Yeah, Bryn from Gavin and Stacey.
Oh my gosh, what's his name? I love him. What is it?
Oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh, that's annoying.
It is.
Are you Googling? Can you Google?
I am Googling.
Good, because if I leave the screen, I won't know how to get back.
Played by, of course, it's Rob Brydon.
Oh my gosh, Rob Brydon. Oh, I'm sorry, Rob Brydon. I love you. I can't believe I forgot. I could see him sat there with his card.
Yeah, I know. So he's the host. Then they have two celebrity teammates. And then they are given a card to read off in the game.
Yeah.
And it will be, for example, I once set fire to a car by falling asleep while smoking.
Yeah.
For example.
Very
random example.
I don't think that's ever been used.
No. And then the teams have to work out by asking questions and whatnot about the story, whether or not it's truth or whether it's a lie.
Yeah. So you have to be, but you don't get to see the card before, so you don't know if you're going to.
I imagine they have to write out a few amusing stories about their lives before they go on.
And then they'll pick one.
Like, how many has Bob Mortimer got? Sorry,
oh my gosh,
topic.
Yeah.
Like, how bizarre has his life been?
It's like Carl Pilkington, when you're like, what? I never heard that before.
They used to keep bees in the garden.
Yeah.
It's your turn, Victoria, if you just read off the cards.
Okay. So, I was once working at a theatre in Bristol, and you were given, at the time of working there, you would be given a different job, perhaps each shift. So you might work on the bar, you might work on a kiosk, you might have to attach an ice cream tray to your body, fill it with ice creams, and then stand at the front and sell your ice creams. So my job that day was to attach the ice cream tray to my body. But you don't do that into the interval. So I'm just doing various bits and bobs before. And
like helping people to their seats and whatnot?
No, you don't do that. You do that if you're a floor monitor. So right. Thank you for chipping in, Stu, but you're not trained.
Sorry, I didn't want it to be too long without me saying anything.
Okay. I know. So you might do something like sell programs in the beginning or take tickets. So, I mean, it doesn't matter. But anyway, I'm just setting the scene, guys. Just setting the scene. And then, so I happen to be helping somebody on a kiosk at the back of the auditorium in the first floor. Bobby Davro, TV's Bobby Davro.
In STEM business?
Oh, was he in EastEnders?
Yeah, sure he was.
Good, I'm happy for him. I'm glad his career went well. He was, this is before Andy Ford's time, so he, probably the last year before, so he was playing Buttons. He comes along, can one of you help me with a gag? Now, you know me, I'm craving the limelight. Yes, please, I'll help you. Yes, Bobby Davro, I'll help you.
This is the launch of my career.
This is it, I've made it, yeah.
Finally,
this is going to be the last time I'll have to attach ice cream trays to my body. I'm in the panto now. Yeah, I'll help you. Help me with a gag. Okay.
I'm the star of the panto.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, I'll help you with a gag. I've never said the word gag, but yeah, I'll say it here to Bobby Davro. This is what he says. Yeah, I'll help you with a gag. So we go along. He takes me to a specific point near the front of the stalls on the side. He says, what I'm going to do, I say the line, no one will marry me. And then I want you to shout, I'll marry you, Buttons. So I'm, no problem, I can do that. I'm Lambda trained, Bobby Davro. I can vocally project.
Did you practice?
We practiced, yeah, we did.
With
Bobby Davro, TV's Bobby Davro. He went up onto the stage.
He said
the line, no one will ever marry me. I said in my Lambda trained voice, I'll marry you, Buttons.
Oh no, I know your voice as well.
You know my
when you're trying at panto.
Yeah, you know my
I've not just rocked up here and done a few lines. I am here.
I'm here. This is my acting voice. I'm Nanette trained. Thank you, Nanette. I use my Nanette trained voice. So yeah, you know.
Yeah, I know it.
Like Stu said, I've done several, sadly. Well, sadly, yeah. Several readings at funerals. And Stu said you start off by saying something about the person and then you go to read your poem or whatever, and then you'll be like, the good neighbour, and then my voice just changes because it's like I'm performing now. This is my voice.
They were a lovely person. The good neighbor was there.
So we practice. I use my voice. He can hear all the.
This just makes me want to applaud him even more.
Does it? Because of all the people who work there.
Yeah.
Then he picks me.
He couldn't believe his luck when he got a little geeky
Because I was really trying.
Look how keen she is.
Shoot. So this is all in the incoming. So this is before the show started. He goes off to get changed. I don't know what he goes to warm up his voice. Probably if he's a professional like I am.
Yeah.
He's off to warm his voice.
So are you.
So I'm walking along. Doing my various things.
Ice cream now under your chins, resting them.
Not yet. And I'll tell you what. So I go and explain to the manager. Hello, Emma. Hi, Emma, if you're listening. Kate, if you're listening, say hello to Emma. I go to the manager and I say, Emma, guess what? I'm involved in a gag.
Oh, no.
Because I'm using that word now. Huh?
Do you think they knew?
No, she didn't know. No.
Right.
So I'm telling all my friends, okay? Mm-hmm. I want everyone to know I've been discovered.
You phoned Dad. You phoned Mum.
Huh?
I said you phoned Dad. You phoned Mum. You let them know.
Let them know. Left your voicemail.
The mortgage is paid for. Don't worry.
Because I'm thinking this could lead to more things. It would probably want me to do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm not working, but I'll come in for this gag.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm telling everyone, I'm doing this. Everyone's excited to do, all my friends. They're very excited for me. I can't believe it. I can't believe my luck.
Finally, a big break.
So Emma, manager, is like, well, you obviously can't prepare your ice cream tray because you'll be given, because there's more involved. You have to go and collect them. You have to go to the ice cream room. In one of the bars, collect your box of vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, count them, get your floats, do all that. I can't do that, Stu. I'm in the gag.
Yeah.
Someone has to do that. Emma, someone has to do that.
Beneath you.
Yeah, I can't do that now. All right, I'll sell them. You need me to after the gag, but I need to do this.
I'll probably pull in more people from my fame.
Probably, because they'll have recognised me from the gag I just did.
They'll be like, I'm going to get an ice cream off of a woman who was in the show.
Yeah, I'm going to get, this actor's selling them. How funny. Yeah. So, Emma, I can't do that. Can someone bring them up for me? Yes, Vicky, that's no problem. Someone can bring them up. Someone will prepare my ice cream tray and my float. They'll do all that counting. I can't count. I've got a gag.
You need to focus on your performance.
Yeah. So, the moment comes. My heart is beating wildly.
Just before the interval, this is coming up.
Just before the interval, so just a couple of minutes. It's not a problem. I'll go to my area. I'm there anyway, doing this scene. Okay, I'm there anyway.
It's not scene.
I'm there anyway. Someone can bring it to me to work to my when my scene has concluded. Then I will sell these ice creams. No problem. I'll call out ice creams £2.50.
My voice is
I've warmed up my voice for the scene, so
we know this voice. She was in the show.
I recognize that voice. She's one of the stars. So we get to this is my moment. So I'm
a
there
moment like this.
Some people wait a lifetime. People wait a lifetime, and it's my moment. It's me now. Okay, so I go to the side with TV's Bobby Davros on the stage. Cinderella leaves. Oh, I love Cinderella. I guess no one will marry me. Here's my line. I'll marry you, Buttons. Oh, now this isn't like we rehearsed, because he's not acknowledging me. And in our rehearsal, he did. He obviously didn't hear me. It's not a problem. I'll say it again.
Oh, no.
Louder. Deep breath. I'll marry you, Buttons. He's still wearing my white shirt, my black waistcoat, my little red tie.
Oh, no.
Just stood there earnestly. He can't. If I'm really projecting my voice now, people in the audience are looking at me like I'm crazed. But he's not responding. I know. Well, I'll try again. Can I go louder?
Oh, no.
Let's go again.
Oh, no.
I'll marry you, Buttons. and he just walks off the stage.
Oh my god! That's like, if somebody just shouted out in the audience,
yeah,
he would have acknowledged them at that point.
But
three times.
But he didn't. Thrice I called out to him, to my fellow actor. He just walked off the stage. Scene. Not only is the scene done, it's the interval. Someone, my colleague, gives me my tray. I have to attach it to my body and walk down to the front by all the people who have just heard, because I'm on that same side. All the people I've just shouted in front of, and just sell them ice cream. Ice cream's £2.50, I said, clear as day.
I haven't got time to accept your humiliation. You just have to go straight into the...
Oh, I got knocked right back down to earth. Booted down. So I can't believe it. And I'm just still not getting it. And surely he heard me. 2,000 people were looking at me.
I know you. Knowing you.
Yeah.
You probably thought that you'd done something wrong.
Yeah, I did. I was like, oh no, he'll think I didn't do it. But I did. Thrice.
Oh god.
So later on, so when I've done that, I've helped out. I'm puzzled. People are asking me how it went. I don't know. I didn't know if he heard me. What happened? I see his manager a bit later walking along. I'm like, oh, hi. Can you tell Bobby Davra? I can't call him Bobby.
TV's Bobby Davra.
Can you tell TV's Bobby Davra? I did this, but he didn't respond. The manager says this. Yeah, I'll tell him.
Oh.
Oh, that's obviously something he does.
Yeah.
He did it to me. Of all the people who work this, Stu.
I know.
Classic me, isn't it?
He saw you coming.
Yeah, he did.
So you didn't do that any other night?
No, didn't get anyone else to do it. That was just that one.
One and done.
One joke to one person, and that one person was I. All by myself. I tell you what, Stu, if he ever comes to watch one of my mini pantos,
you can ask him to shout out.
I've got a gag for him.
Oh, that was funny.
Yeah, it's funny now.
I would have loved to have been there.
You would have.
Just to see your face, just like...
Just so puzzled.
What have everyone been thinking?
What were they thinking? Because they're thinking, she's going to get fired.
Yeah.
Because she obviously works here. She's wearing the waistcoat and the tie.
Let's get an ice cream for her before they remove her.
Huh?
Let's get an ice cream from her before they remove her.
Before they remove her. Maybe she'll discount them because she's clearly gone mad.
Oh dear! So that's probably the low point of the pantomime for you, then.
Yeah, it went from so high to so low, very quickly. I told everyone.
Was he good in it? Was he good in it then?
He was excellent. The fool. No, he was very good. It was very funny. He did a good job. I tried to help him do a good job, but he would not be helped.
Well, and now, if you ever go on, would I lie to you? You can be like I once got. Mugged off by Bobby Davra in front of
TV's Bobby Davra.
Yeah.
Oh well.
I realise we haven't really spoke too much about pantomime. We just spoke about Andy Ford and boilers and you getting mugged off by Bobby Davra. TV's Bobby Davra.
We really discussed TV's Bobby Davra and boilers a lot.
So I thought I'll give a quick definition of what a pantomime is.
Oh, good. Okay. Well done. Yeah.
So, a theatrical entertainment, mainly for children, which involves music, topical jokes, and slapstick comedy, is based on a fairy tale or a nursery story, usually produced around Christmas.
Yeah. So, there are sometimes Easter pantos or pantos for grown-ups that they could do. Well, at Easter, it's an Easter panto. Because Mum's going to one, isn't she? And it's Cinderella, but Cinderella.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, rather than the CIN.
Well, if you take nothing from this podcast, which you probably won't.
Don't trust Bobby Davra.
Well, take two things. One, don't trust TV's Bobby Davra.
Yeah.
And two, go and wash a panto. It's nothing more Christmassy than washing a panto at Christmas.
Yeah. Lots of fun.
Thoroughly enjoyable.
Family fun.
I didn't think it would be my cup of tea, and I didn't think it would be Dad's cup of tea. And he loves going to the panto.
He really chuckles, doesn't he? Yeah.
Because we used to, me, Dad, Adam and Jake, when Jake was too young to go, used to stay home while you all went off to the panto.
Yeah.
And then for some reason we had extra tickets 1 year, so we surprised you all and turned up, didn't we?
Oh yeah, and that
then,
was nice.
Now we just go every year.
Now we all go. Yeah, good family fun.
Get you in a proper Christmassy mood.
But be warned, because I was shocked. So I watched it a lot as a child. And then the first time I went as an adult, I didn't realise there was a lot of saucy humour in there. And I was like, what? So I guess it was just like that. Well, no, it was. It was just like that the whole time. But I was too young to understand.
Just get it over your head.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Cleverly done.
Because I sometimes take a sneaky look at Jacob. And I'm like, oh my gosh, does he know what's going on? And he's just chuckling away. He has no idea. Okay, it's fine.
Oh, you know that someone who I worked with was two rows behind us.
Oh, I didn't know that. No.
Someone I worked with was two rows behind us. Oh, and they were like, at work. They were like, I seen Stu up with his mum and sister doing Tragedy.
Yeah. Oh, because Faye from Steps was in everyone. Mm. If you're not familiar with the pop group Steps, I suggest you get familiar. And they did a cover of the Bee Gees Tragedy that incidentally, when it came out, I used to get home from school every day, put it on and do 52 sit-ups. Mm. And the reason I did that was because I thought I'd do 50 sit-ups. And then I was like, we live at number 52. I'll just do two more.
Think of the gains from those two extra every day.
Every day.
That's 14 a week.
So, they have a dance routine to like every song. And then Stu was pop dance trained by me. Mm. So Bobby Devereaux, if we need someone to help do some pop dancing. Oh, Mary Buttons!
Yeah.
So when she did a little steps medley at the end,
we were thriving.
Yeah.
It was more impressive than your previous performance.
In the panto.
At the Hippodrome.
Oh.
Well, unless you have anything else to add,
we'll wrap it up
and say Merry Christmas again to everyone.
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
Sorry about all the boiler drivel on the JCB in the background at the beginning.
The JCB.
I hope you made it this far.
There was a lot of background noise from your end.
Yeah. Well, I was up here and Max followed me up and then Jake come up and just looked at me and pointed and went, and I was like, just took Max away. So that's why we've had a bit of quiet the last.
What did he point at?
Pointed at Max and then pointed to me and like, I was like, yes, remove him.
Remove him. Oh, bless
him. Take him away.
He's so cute. You both are. Oh.
Okay, right. Yeah. So, Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
We'll be back in the new year.
Yes.
Which is tomorrow. But we won't be back tomorrow.
We won't be back tomorrow. No.
But we'll be back soon. Thank you for listening. I'll ring you for a debrief.
Yes. And we'll please follow us and send messages on the socials.
Yeah, at Films Lives.
Yeah, Instagram.
Get on YouTube. There's a lovely Christmas video on there if you've ever seen Santa Claus. Not the Santa Claus.
Santa Claus, the movie from 1985. Mm. And just know that took more than 2 weeks to wash out of my hair.
Mm. We'll leave that little teaser.
It was gloss paint. I'll say that much. Yeah.
Worth a watch, surely.
All right, then. So
thanks for listening.
Hits thank you.
Socials. Happy New Year. And these
are the films of our lives. Sorry, there's a time delay. I'll marry you, Buttons. Good night. Beep,
beep, beep. That's all the crickets.
Yeah.
Bye now. Goodbye.
Bye, goodbye, 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 goodbye. 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 Goodbye.